His mercy endures forever. I wanted to share a couple of things with you. It's probably a little different than the ordinary. Last week, I spoke to you concerning what the Spirit of God was sharing with me at the end of the year 2011, and of course the message that I had presented in 2012 about this year being the time of God's government or divine order, putting things in. I just want to go over some things with you concerning that. It has to do with our service that we're going to be having, a special service that we're going to be having. And I want to give you some background, basically, as to why we want to have that service. That's a special service. You would recall in Acts chapter 1 that in, I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1 verse 16. Just follow me the best you can. 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper town, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now again, as you study the Word of God, as you study the Scriptures, you would see there are many things that are stated. When I read the Bible, I realize that, you know, little words here and there, little statements are so very important. Sometimes in your first reading, you just read past it and go ahead. But the Holy Spirit prompts you to pay attention to specific things that he wants you to pay attention to at that time. And here it says that the scripture needs to be fulfilled. That scripture that says that one has to take the place of Judas Iscariot in verse 20, For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now, you would realize that they were told to go gather in the upper room until they would be endued with power from on high. When they gathered in the upper room, the number they said was 120. The number 120 is also a significant number. We're not going to get into that today, but you notice that everything in the Bible, all the numbers, and there's always something significant in which God is expressing, because God is a God of order. And everything that he does, he does in order. There were 11 disciples at this point because Judas Iscariot was no longer named among the disciples. And Peter got up and says, well, we need to let this scripture be fulfilled. And let's choose a disciple from the group that was with us from the time of Jesus' baptism in Jordan until the ascension. So one of the requirements for you to be a disciple of this sort, you have to have been with Jesus from that time to the time of, from the time of the baptism, his baptism in Jordan, until the time when he was ascended into heaven. And so that's why they chose lots, and they chose two that were with them from that time. There are certain requirements for discipleship. You know, to be one of the 12, you would have to have been with Jesus from that time until his ascension. That's why the Apostle Paul was not really named as one of these 12. It's one of the 12. Even though he was a disciple and an apostle, he was one that is said to, quote-unquote, been born out of his time, which really, it really was not of his time, but it was for that specific period of time. But the scripture had to be fulfilled, that there be 12. Why? Because that is God's divine order. His divine order must take place. So that's why they went ahead. That number 12 means the number of the order of government. It means the completion of something. And this is why before the day of Pentecost can come, where the Holy Spirit can come in and fill all of them, before that can happen, things had to be in order according to God's standard. So they had to have 12. That's why this was written in the Psalms, and that's why Peter got up and said this. Now, you notice that right after this, they chose Matthias, but right after that, in chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it was fully come. So this had to take place before the day of Pentecost could fully come. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, certain things had to happen. Again, there is a number. There are numbers involved. There is the order of God. The day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. The number 50 represents the number of the Pentecost. And this had to be 50 days after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. 50 days. See, everything is precise. Everything is in order. We have Jesus being in, dying and going into the grave for 3 days. He could not have stayed in the grave 4 days. He could not have stayed in the grave 5 days. Why? Because everything that God does, he does with precise order. It was 3 days that he had to stay in the grave. God gave examples and foreshadows of such a thing. For example, he said that as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, 3 days. See, that again is, it was a prediction of what was to come. So you have foreshadowings of the things that are supposed to come, so that there are no scientific errors, there are no mistakes with the things that God has written. when we look at Joseph as a picture. Joseph was a picture of Christ to come. He was the one who would be sold into slavery. He's the one who was going to experience all the negative things that he experienced so that he could become the one who would redeem his brethren. He would redeem, as a matter of fact, he redeemed the whole known world at that time because of what he was able to accomplish in what God was showing and what God did through him. So I want you, I'm just mentioning these things because I want you to know that nothing that God does, he does haphazardly. Everything is determined according to God's mind and God's purpose. See, so sometimes when we, of course, look at things from our perspective, you know, we judge according to our perspective. And sometimes, or most of the times, we are incorrect or wrong simply because we are not supposed to judge with what we see. We are supposed to judge by the discernment of what God has said and what His Spirit is doing within our lives. So we can't go by what we see. If we go by what we see, we are going to be incorrect. Hey, are you with me? Okay, so there was supposed to be 12 here, and that's why there was 12. And then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, which was 50 days after Jesus' passion there, when he died and he was crucified and he rose from the dead, 3 days, it had to be 3 days. He couldn't stay more than 3 days because after 3 days, the body begins to rot or decay. And the psalm said, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. So he couldn't stay more than 3 days. Or else his body would have begun to decay, and this script here, or that script here, that was stated there, would have been incorrect. Everything is precise. There were 40 days from the day that Jesus died, 40 days when he was ascended. That number 40 also, there was a specific reason why. Then from that 40 to the 50 days, that 10 days, again, there was a specific reason why. God is precise. God is a God of order. God is, his divine order is always in place for the things that he has to do to take place. That should be a lot of encouragement to you. Because no matter what happens, you know that God is always faithful and always on time. See, and those of us that have been in this way for a while, you know, we know that God is faithful. He's always been faithful. He's always kept true to the things that he said. God will never lie. He cannot lie. And this is a great confidence that we can have, basically, in him. So, you'd also recall in the book of Galatians, for example, in Galatians chapter 4, it says, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. In the fullness of time. So it was at that particular point in time, when Christ came, that was an ordained time. It was a specific time. You know, he didn't just show up at that time. It was an ordained and appointed time. Everything that God does, he does out of his divine order or government, out of his divine completion. See, God may be working something in your life, and it is necessary that you get to a certain place so that God could complete what he begun. See, and maybe others don't understand what's going on. See, and you may be criticized and so on by others who don't understand. But God is always on time. And you need to know and rest in all that God has said. His word will not return void. His word will accomplish what he sent it forth to do. And you can be confident in that. That's the way to live. It's the way to live, to know that that, you know, that your heart is yearning towards God, that every movement of yours become like every movement of Jesus, like every movement of Christ was for a divine purpose. See, and when you know that every movement of yours is for a divine purpose, that God is the one who is by His Spirit ordering your steps, for as it is written, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, then you're not bothered or disturbed by others who may think that you should be someplace else. Come on, talk to me. It's a confidence that you begin to have in God to rest and to trust Him. So no matter what happens, when the climate looks bad, when the situation looks dreadful, when it looks like there is no way out, but you know that you have been ordered by your God, you know that your steps are ordered, then you stay firm and you keep your eyes like a flint upon what God has said and said, Lord, you have never left me, you will never leave me, you will never forsake me. What you have declared will come to pass. I'm confident, O God, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And then you walk life, you know, you walk life. You then begin to realize that things don't bother you as they used to. I don't know if you're hearing me. Things don't bother you as they used to. You get to a place, you know, Mary and Martha sent to Jesus, they said to him, to the servant, go tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick. You know, he's very, very sick. He's not going to make it. Come quickly. And they sent the servant, and the servant came. Lazarus, your friend, is dying, and you need to come quickly. And Jesus said, thanks for the information. Go ahead, I'll be there. And he waited an extra day. And he waited the extra day, and Lazarus died. Now, if he was really the Son of God and he really had the mind of God, he would not have waited that extra day. He would have just got up immediately and run to Lazarus. Huh? No, because what they were requesting is not what was dictating his movement. His movement was being dictated by the connection that he had with his Father. See, you and I can't allow everyone to be the one who would the ones who would determine what our lives are supposed to look like. We can't allow that because we don't serve people, we serve the King. And everyone who basically is in line with the King, we end up serving automatically. Are you with me here? So you focus on the King, and the King allows you, he puts everything in order so that his divine order takes place, and you can then relate to others without any sort of condemnation, not being upset. When you make your decisions, you're making your decisions based on what the King is saying. And let me clarify that whenever the King says anything, the King always confirms it. I'm not talking about those of us who say, God told me, and have no relationship with God through His Word or by His anointing, by His Spirit. I'm not talking about that. You know, we hear that all the time. People say that all the time. Well, God told me. The Spirit of God led me. The Spirit of God told me. And, you know, well, I only go by the Spirit of God. I don't go by what man say. You know, and you can many, most of the times when we hear that, even when I've said that in the past, out of my ignorance and out of my stupidity and you know, I said things and I said them, you know, and there was a certain kind of arrogance that came out with it. And you know that it wasn't God. Because when God, when you say something in God, you know, there's no arrogance in it. There's a confidence in what you're saying. But you're not saying something, well, I only go by what God says. Normally when people say that, you know, sometimes it's just a facade. It's just a face that they're putting on. You know, because if you only go by what God says, you don't have to say that to anyone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Am I here? Yes. Are you here? I don't know. You didn't say anything. Okay. So we're looking at this now. Why am I making reference to this? Because, as I said to you, when God had showed me at the end of 2011 about the 2012, and again it was confirmed because I came and I ministered to you concerning that. I don't know how many of you took it seriously or how many of you understood what I said or whatever. Because many times God is speaking and we come and we share, and everybody doesn't really grasp what God is saying or what's going on. Sometimes we get a little part of what it is because that little part ministers to us. But see, if you don't have an outlook, basically, if you're concerned basically about maybe where you are at the time in life when you're listening to a message, you're listening to that message to see how you can get through the point of where you are. There's nothing wrong with that, but you may not necessarily be looking at the big picture that God is trying to give. And usually the big picture he would give to those who are at that place where they're looking for the big picture of what God has to do. So I'm not putting down if you're receiving a message and you receive something for yourself where you are. That's necessary. But if there's a bigger picture at large and you don't see the bigger picture, and God is stating things concerning that bigger picture, then you would not be able to grasp that per se. So I can come and share a message speaking about the big picture, and you may be only able to identify with the little part that deals with you. Are you with me here? This is now you get my drift, right? This is not a put down. This is just telling us that at times we are at different places in our lives. That's why you should not ever assume to be the pastor. You should not assume to be the pastor. You shouldn't assume that you know more than the pastor. You may know more than the pastor basically in an area that you have. In other words, you may have an area in X and say, I might be the pastor of the church. See? And you may know more about X than I know about X. Are you with me? So you function in your portion, but don't assume then that you have the picture for the whole group, because that's not the place that God has put you in. Now, don't let it seem as if this is something that, you know, that maybe the pastor is just trying to be somebody. Don't think of it like that. Understand the functioning. I'll never forget. One day I was watching Star Trek, and it was The Next Generation. I like the previous, the early Star Trek, but this one was The Next Generation, and I was watching this. And this particular episode, I think I mentioned this before. This particular episode is called The Loop. And what it was that they started and they were going, things were normal. And then suddenly they realized that they were going to crash. And then they came and, you know, they got all chaotic. Everything started happening and boom! And there was a big explosion and they crashed. And when they crashed, the next scene was that they were from where they started from the beginning, going towards the same destination again. Anyone saw that episode? It was called The Loop. And what really was happening was that they were actually going to crash, but every time that they were about to crash, they made a loop and they went back to the place where they were from the beginning. You know, and Picard got all his chief engineer and everyone, number one and everybody else, and you know, and they sat down around the table and they started, and everyone began to give his expertise. And Picard was listening. So this one said, so and so and so and so. And then this one said, so and so and so and so. And then taking all the information, they were able to understand really what was happening. And then Picard just said, okay, everybody knows what they have to do, see to it. I'm so glad that Data didn't try to do what number one was supposed to do. Because if that was the case, they would have crashed. Are you following me here? So I'm trying to make illustration here. I want to get my point across. And I want to get it across without you leaving here with any kind of condemnation in your heart or in your mind. I want you to be able to understand that the only reason that I'm a pastor is because God called me to be. That's the only reason. Even before I was saved, I was called into the ministry. Did you know that? And I found that out. I found out one day that my father dedicated me to the ministry. And I was still a little, I don't know if I was more than 3 or 4, 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. I recognized, and one day he was sharing, he had gone through an experience, and he had mentioned to the Lord, "Lord, if you would do this thing, I would dedicate myself." He would dedicate me to the ministry, to him, in to work as a healer. So either in the realm of the ministry, or maybe in the realm of being a doctor. So I'm in a calling that I really didn't have much to do with. So if I didn't have much to do with it, then he who has begun the good work, then I could expect him to complete it. Come on, say something. Say hallelujah, or say something. See, it just brings relaxation and confidence, So it doesn't matter. I know what God said. I know what God has said within me, what God is doing within me. I know what it is. So I just want him to do what he has to do. Now, I'm not always cooperating with him. That's why sometimes we have little delays and things like that. But you know, the God of all the earth, the judge of all the earth, will always do right. He knows, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He can turn it in whatsoever direction that he desires. Are you with me here? So God is in control. He has the overall control. I'm not saying that God is controlling every little thing that's going on. God has the overall control. He knows exactly what is going to happen because he has already written it down. That's why everything has a specific timing. You with me here? So here we have when the number 50, which was the day of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit came. So he says, and on the day of when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it's always in God's divine order. Always his timing. Always. Maybe not ours, but always his. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's also going to reap. God is perfect in his timing. I would think that if God knew the beginning from the ending and he knew everything, that if he was going to choose someone to be numbered with the 12 that would not be lost, then he could have done that. But because he knows everything, the one who he chose was one who was not one of his, so that he could fulfill his own role. You with me here? That's why I'm confident that if you are born of the Spirit, if you are born of God, There's no way that you could lose your salvation. The only people that would lose their salvation are those people who never were. So you might be numbered with, but it doesn't mean that you are. Are you with me? That's why the Bible says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Now, everything that God is saying has a specific time involved. Now, let's go back to what I was sharing with you before, and last week, and also in the beginning of the year. So when God had said this would be the year of His divine order, and you know, we had expressed that again, if you didn't have the same mindset, for example, as I did, okay, because my mindset basically is not so much just as for my life individually, but in my office, my mindset, I have a mindset that looks beyond. It looks more for the purpose and the plan of God for a congregation rather than an individual. You know, I have a bigger perspective, my vision is not just myopic. It's not just for me. My vision usually is larger, simply because of the office, not because I'm better than anyone else, but simply because of the office that I belong to. Are you following me here? So, when God had shared this, and I shared it with you, that was my first confirmation that this is what God was going to do. So I didn't know what God planned. All I knew is that I'm expecting God's order to be set up in this year 2012, His divine order. Now, again, as it pertains to the broader picture, not just for me as an individual. You following me? Okay. So, We went through the year. We went through different situations. Of course, my mind and my heart was open to God, trying to understand all that God is saying. Because, you know, if He doesn't reveal it to me, He doesn't explain it to me, then I wouldn't know. Okay, so, you know, we went through the year. And then we came, now we're here at this point, at 2012, the end of 2012. We just entered into the 12th month. So, God's divine order being set up, you know, may not necessarily be what you and I are looking at in the natural. See, His order may be, definitely is in the spiritual order of things. In other words, just like when Jesus was coming to the earth the first time, not too many people were aware that He was coming. Even though it was prophesied, even though it was predicted, even though everything was precisely written down, yet, when He came, He couldn't even find room to be born. Those who were religious, those who knew, quote-unquote, God, were so far away from God when He came. When Jesus came, you know, they were just oblivious to the truth of His coming. As a matter of fact, He even said to them, look, I'm not just going to show up. What I'm going to do, I'm going to send a forerunner. So He sent a forerunner, and the forerunner was John the Baptist. So John the Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John is preaching. And the people whose hearts are kind of open to want to know more of God, you know, they run to John's baptism. But the ones who were the leadership, the ones who were the leaders of the people, who's supposed to be teaching them, who's supposed to show them the way to God, they were completely oblivious to what was going on. And that is because they never were part of God's group, so to speak, because their hearts really was, they were not really seeking after God. even though they went through all their rituals and stuff. So when they came to Jesus and they were trying to trick him, and they said to him, by what authority do you do these things? You would think that if someone could raise the dead, if someone could cast out demons, if someone could heal a crippled person, if someone can get a woman who was a prostitute to just turn a whole life around just like that, you would think that you won't want to ask that person, where'd you get your authority to do that? Huh? But now they're coming to Jesus and they're asking him, where did you get your authority to do that? Jesus always answers a question with a question. He says, I'll ask you a question first, and if you answer my question, then I'll answer yours. Well, they are very smart people, so they agreed. Oh, of course, we can answer anything. He said, the baptism of John, when John came baptizing, whose baptism was that? Where did he get his authority to do that baptism? And they looked at one another and they talked about it. They talked among themselves. They said, if we say it was of God, then we're in trouble because we didn't receive it. If we say it's from the devil, then the people are going to stone us because the people believe that John was from. So they couldn't answer. So they looked at him and said, we can't tell where his authority came from. Jesus says, well, neither will I tell you where my authority has come from. Huh? Oh, they knew where it came from. They just didn't want to admit where it came from because they were against it. Are you with me here? You know, everything that God does, there's purpose behind it. There is order behind it. So, anyway, here he comes, and it says now, when we talked about 12-12, the 12th month, this is the 12th year. You know, so I was, of course, just a few weeks before that, the Spirit of God began to stir this within me and says, okay, you know, we're approaching the time, 12-12, you know. And I'm thinking about it. So last week I felt, well, let me just share it again, bring it up to you because we are about to go into this. This is the 12th month of the 12th year. And if God says he's putting everything in divine order, his divine order, the government in place, his government in place, he's putting things in order, then even though you and I may not see it with these natural eyes, then if God said it, then we should begin to look with spiritual eyes so that God can begin to reveal it to us. But of course, if the group itself has not picked that up, you know, well, I picked it up because God spoke it to me. So that's why I shared it last week. And then after I shared it, before I left service, this may mean absolutely nothing to you, but maybe you'll understand from my perspective. Brother Cornelius came to me after service, and he said, I really want to thank you for the message. I received certain things from the message, he said, but I brought my little daughter here for you to say hi. And then he said to her, tell Pastor when is your birthday. So she said her birthday is December 12th. And then he said to me, 12-12-12. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. And I laid my hands on the head, and I just said, Lord, you bless this little child with whatever that I prayed for. I just prayed, release a blessing on her. But then I said this, I said, Lord, what you're about to do, please do. Now that part had nothing to do with the little girl. That part had all to do with what God had said. what he said to me at the end of 2011, what I've been declaring and speaking about, the year of divine order, the year of completion, the year of God's government. And so I walked away, and when I left him, he left. But it was something that was solidified in me. In other words, to me, that was my second confirmation. Because I like God to, when he gives me something, first it's in here, but then I like him to do things outwardly so that it can confirm to me. Now, the things that are outward are never the things that would give me direction. What gives me direction is what he says to me on the inside. You know, so I said, okay, God, I'm open. I want you to do what you want to do. You know, I'm going to focus on 2012. 12, 12. And since her birthday was the 12th, I'm going to focus in on 12, 12, 12. So I left and I went home. And then when I went home, later on, I turned on the TV and I was going through it was Daystar or TBN, one of those. I was looking, and Rod Parsley was on. Now, I don't usually look at Rod Parsley. Again, this is not because Rod Parsley is not an anointed man of God, a dynamite preacher. It's not none of that, none of those reasons. I simply, if I look at someone, I tend to look at people who kind of, teach more without the preaching style. Now, please, I don't want you to think I'm carnally minded here. I don't want you to think that I have preferences, because God can speak to me through anyone he wants. So I don't want you to think that. We tend to do that. We have certain habits. I have a habit of teaching. I like to listen to teachers more so than preachers. But I have no objection to preachers, especially preachers who preach with an anointing to teach. Somebody like T.D. Jakes. When you listen to T.D. Jakes, T.D. Jakes preaches, but he has such powerful illustrations. Such a command of the language. When he shares, gives you these pictures. So I could sit down and listen to T.D. Jakes and get a teaching and get an illustration also, a picture. See, so, and he's a preacher. So I don't want you to walk out here thinking that, well, he only listened to some people and not others. All right, that's why I'm explaining this. You with me? Okay, so when Rod Parsley was on, he got my attention. Because he said, at the end of 2011, God spoke to me concerning the 2012, and then he came up with what God was sharing with him, 12, 12, 12. And so he says, and I'm going to have a service on 12, 12, 12, and in that service, I have some of the men of God, and he has a list of some of the men. He talked about Perry Stone and Kenneth Copeland and Mara Cirillo and some of these other men that he has joining in with him for praying for in that particular, for that particular day. And he says that what God had shared with him was that there would be a breakthrough or a release from that moment, that could mean a whole lot of things. A release from that moment, it means that you might be released spiritually. It may not even mean that you might receive your physical, material manifestation. But what should happen if there is a release, when there is a release, the release usually is in here. It's like faith. When faith is released in you, when you have faith for something and it's released in you, faith is an assurance. So you become completely convinced. You are so sure. See, that even if the manifestation is not there, that that doesn't really bother you because you know. So no matter who tries to talk you out of it, it's impossible because you just know. That's what faith does. Now we're talking about wishing and wanting and hoping and, you know, in human terms. We're talking about an assurance. But that's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the conviction. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So even though it's not manifested in the natural where it can be seen, in the spirit it's released. You know because you know because you know because you know. That is what I expect in 12:12:12. That's what I expect from that service. Because we are going to join in. That's why we have that special service. We are going to expect on that day that there would be a release, a breakthrough. Even if the manifestation is not there, that does not matter. Because what matters is the assurance. Because the assurance is what brings the manifestation. That's what faith is. It's a title deed. It's a check that you take to the bank on a good account. You understand? So that night, that was a Sunday evening, that was my third confirmation. And someone says, well, that sounds very spooky. It may be spooky to you, but it's confirmed to me from the Word of God. So I'm expecting. Now, that's why we're going to have that special service. Now, I'm not quite sure of all the details or what God is saying concerning that, but I know that we have to come with a sense of expectation. We've got to come expecting that, hey, this is the day of my breakthrough. Now, I've been standing, I've already stood, I've been standing, I've been speaking, I've been declaring, sometimes I've even acted upon. This is the hour of your release. Now, if you can believe, and all things are possible to him who can believe. What have you been standing and believing God for? Is it your family, loved ones to receive the Lord? Is it a financial breakthrough? Is it a physical healing? What is it? Is it a relationship? What is it that you've been believing God for? Your breakthrough is here. Now, let me tell you this. I don't even think that we're talking about 12, 12, 12. Because we're in 12 and 12 already. So you should be experiencing breakthrough even now. Here is the enemy that we deal with. The enemy says to us, when Jesus comes, he comes as a sower. The first time he came, right? Came as a sower. He came and he sowed what? Seed, what we call the seed, the word. He sows the word. He sows the word. That's the first time that he came. His first coming is as a sower sowing the word. The enemy's job was to get you separated from that word. He does not want you to understand that word. If you understand the word, then he is unable to snatch it from you. That's explained in the same parable. It says that they that receive the word and understands it not, Satan comes immediately and steals that word from them. So a lot of stuff that we've heard day in and day out, week in and week out from the Bible, some of the stuff that we have read, you know, if there is not an understanding of that, Satan comes, he steals it from us. Now, if he steals it from us, then what happens? Then we have no ability in that area for God to really deal with stuff on our behalf. Even though we're children of God. Even though we're no longer under the curse. Because if that was not the case, then when we all came to the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything would have been taken care of. In other words, the day you and I came before the Lord, then there would be no need for you and I to give. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. But when you came to the Lord, you got a new heart and a new spirit, right? Well, then, why do you still have to give? Because even though things are declared legal in one way, you and I have to take the demand of that thing so that it can be done, even though it's legally declared. So that's why a whole lot of these things, sometimes we don't understand stuff. We don't understand why God tells you and me a simple, silly, stupid thing like taking the Lord's Supper. A stupid thing like that. Hey, that's being sacrilegious. Why are you saying it's stupid? Well, because sometimes that's how we deal with it. We treat it as if that's what it is. It's a little silly thing. So if we take it, we take it. If we don't, we don't. Come on, talk to me. How often do we take the Lord's Supper except we come to church to do it? And some of us haven't taken this here for a long while because we don't take it on Sundays. Well, why don't you take it on Sundays? Well, because I think people who really want it will come on Tuesdays. I just want you to come out on Tuesdays. So that's why I said, no, we won't take it on Sundays. We take it on Tuesdays. No, that's not why. That's not why. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. But something small as the Lord's Supper, if we don't understand why we take the Lord's Supper, Satan is going to come and steal that from us. Something that is meant to retard your aging and mine. Something that is meant to keep us in a place, a protected place, until Christ comes. So we show the Lord's death till he comes. See, he's died for us, and we show his death till he comes. See, because when he comes, ain't no need for you and I to take the Lord's Supper anymore, because we'd be in communion with him. There'd be no need to take the Lord's Supper because you're going to have a new body. You don't have to get this body, retard the aging process in your body anymore. You don't have to do all that stuff. But God gave you these things. Now, see, we say, that's just a ritual. We just do that. We just go through that. If you don't understand it, then how is it going to work on your behalf? Satan comes immediately to steal that stuff from you. So though you may be going through a routine of something, you're not quite understanding what it means, and you're not getting the faith and the power that normally would be used through that thing. Am I making sense to anyone? You know, I just use that as an example. There's a whole lot of other things. Are we supposed to fast today? Some people say, well, no, once Christ died, you don't need to fast anymore. Listen, your fasting and my fasting is never to twist God's arm to get God to do something. But that's what we've been taught that. You know? No. You see, the reason why I fast is because sometimes when things are getting cloudy and I seem to have a difficult time in just hearing clearly what God is saying, then that's time for me to fast so that I can clear myself. It has nothing to do with God doing anything. It has all to do with me being able to hear clearly from God. Because when you fast natural food, your spiritual senses and your mindset, your mind itself begins to function differently. You know, just like when after you fast for 3 days, you know, you find that you begin to get a whole lot of energy. You know, at the end of the 3 days, you might be feeling a little weak, or, you know, some people react differently. But when it comes to the fourth day, man, you got all this energy. You know, you have more energy that fourth day than you did the first day when you started fasting. Everybody knows what I'm talking about? Anybody? Right? See, so there's a mental something that takes place. Well, your spirit mind or spirit being is more active and activated when you fast, so that you could hear from God clearly. It's not to get God to do something. How can you get God to heal you when He died, sent His Son to die on the cross 2,000 years ago? It's already done. But if you and I allow the enemy to steal from us, and we don't know how to utilize and how to take hold of that which God has already given to us, that's where we suffer. See, so your fasting is not to twist God's arm. It's just to be able to hear from God. Well, everything that we want to do, we want to be able to hear clearly from God. We want, you know. So I would recommend that if you are going to come on 12/12/12, make sure you do come. Well, I don't know. Listen, you don't want to come, don't come. 12/12/12, when we have that special service, for those of you who are interested, when before you come, then you should take a little time to fast. And don't fast a meal, you know. Well, I fasted a meal, you know. You fast a meal without fasting. So don't tell me, you know. Set aside some time. This is not to make God move. This is so that you can be receptive and open to hear what He's saying to you. If you've never fasted, and you need some instruction, we can give you some instruction later on that. But this is a good opportunity for you to start. Then come expecting. Don't come with a preconceived idea. Well, God is going to do this. He's going to do it this way. He's going to do that way. No. Just show up knowing that God is going to be there. And exactly what He wants to take place will take place.